Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons beat the Cavs yesterday by 16, breaking a five-game losing streak. The Pistons came out with excellent effort, exactly what you wanted to see from them, right after Cleveland played a hard-fought game against the Warriors on Christmas Day. For Cleveland, so it was tough on a back-to-back, and they tried to make things a little easier on themselves, at least in the long term, by resting LeBron James. Obviously, that played right into the Pistons' hands, although I would say that it's probably likely that the Pistons would have been playing a far reduced effective LeBron James just because of all the load he took in that Warriors game. That was just a really emotional game where both sides put a lot into it. And so for LeBron to come and turn around and play in a back-to-back in Detroit, that would have been tough. They're probably at a bigger disadvantage without him. Smart move for the Cavs in the long run. A very welcome move for the Pistons, though. And the Pistons answered. That's really what I wanted to see more than anything. Look, Cleveland is not a good team without LeBron James. Since he went back to the Cavs, they've won 75% of their games when he plays. They're 4-18 when he doesn't. That's not very good. Kyrie Irving, good player. Kevin Love, good player. The team does not know how to play without LeBron. You know, which is fine. They don't need to know how. They spend their time learning how to maximize their skills with him. Much better use of their resources. But this team is just lost without LeBron. So the Pistons beating them, in general, not a big deal. Right now was a big deal. Because as we've talked about, the Pistons' psyche has been a little fragile. As they've been losing, there's been a lot of griping. There's been some finger pointing. There's been a lot of dismay all around. Just a lot of unhappiness. And that can spiral. It can snowball, and you want to avoid that. Playing better for the most part against the Grizzlies was a step. Playing really well against the Warriors was a step, but the Pistons also lost both of those games because the Grizzlies are quietly pretty good this year, and the Warriors are great. And the Cavs, without LeBron, are not. That is a game at home when they're on a back-to-back, and you are not. That if you play well, if you play hard, if you play up to your capabilities, you should win. And that's what the Pistons did. So it was nice to put it all together from not just playing better in a loss and feeling pretty good about that to playing better in a win and you feel good about that. And that's going to help you in the standings, especially because everybody played pretty well. Nobody was great, I don't think, but a lot of guys were pretty good. Every starter, Tobias Harris was pretty good. Stanley Johnson even had some moments. Just all the way down, everybody was pretty good. Really, the best player might have been Tobias Harris. Coming off the bench. This is two games for him now off the bench. He's played well in both of them. I don't know whether he's making an argument that he should be back in the starting lineup or that he should stay coming off the bench because this is working so well for him. But I don't think anything's going to change anytime soon. The starting lineup is working well together in these two games. They're plus five. The Pistons otherwise are plus five, and that's over a much longer stretch. So building a five-point advantage in the 29 minutes that this new starting lineup with John Lure has played together. That's a nice place to be, especially considering one of those games was against the Warriors, who obviously have a great starting lineup. This Cleveland starting lineup with Richard Jefferson and instead of LeBron, not so great, but the Pistons took care of business. Everybody was involved. Everybody can feel good about this, and that should bode well going forward. But to repeat what has become Stan Van Gundy's catchphrase the last day or two, It's just two games. Nice signs. You're seeing what you want to see in these two games, and if it keeps going this way, that'd be great. But it's only two games. You can't make any huge judgments just based on two games. The Pistons play the Bucks tomorrow. We'll have much more on that game tomorrow. But I just wanted to mention a program note, by the way. I'm going to be traveling over the next week or so. So there might be a day or two without a show. There also might be a day or two with evergreen content, with some bigger picture things, some side discussions that are not really specific to what just happened in the game the night before, what's going to happen in the next game. There'll be some bigger picture looks at a couple angles on things that I've wanted to get to in greater depth and just haven't had a chance. So we'll see what's available, when I can watch games, and when we'll have some of those. Just something to keep an eye on for the next week or so. And I do want to bring up a couple other things long-term that are going to be a little shorter. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is underway, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate on their first ticket purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons today. Stan Van Gundy revealed something that he had sort of hinted about before, about the interest in Andre Drummond shooting underhanded free throws. This came up because Chinanu Onowaku of the Houston Rockets took underhanded free throws the other night. First player to do that in the NBA in a long time, at least as far back as, really, it seems like anybody can remember, to Rick Barry. And Stan Van Gundy revealed that working with Rick Barry was a possibility for Andre Drummond last summer. Drummond wasn't really interested, wasn't receptive to it, but Rick Barry apparently was willing to lend his expertise. To be fair, Drummond has improved his free throw shooting. He's at 35.5% last year. He's up to 44.7% this year. That's still pretty bad. Still something that needs work. Still the biggest flaw in his game, the most noticeable one for sure, because the entire game stops for everybody to watch him shoot free throws, and I think in a lot of ways he gets unfairly criticized because of that. Everything he does so well comes within the flow and sometimes can get lost in a lengthy game. That's why free throws, I think, are overly magnified by a lot of casual fans, because literally the game stops so we can watch the player perform them. So Drummond wasn't really interested in working with Barry. Maybe fair, maybe not. I think Stan Van Gundy did bring up, is a point I've made a lot too. A lot of smart people have made this. So I guess it's smart people and me making this point, that Rick Barry was an excellent shooter. He would have had a great free throw percentage if he shot overhand. He thinks it was better because he shot underhand. That's why he did it. And it probably was better because he shot underhand. But it would have been great even if he shot overhand. Andre Drummond is not suddenly going to become a great free throw shooter by shooting underhand. That is not the solution to making him a great free throw shooter. There probably is no solution to that. It's probably just never going to happen. Would shooting underhand make him a better free throw shooter? Maybe. I wish he were more open about experimenting with it. Guys just don't want to look silly. I get that. It's not really what I would prefer his mindset would be, but like I've said with everything with Andre Drummond, you take the good with the bad, and the overall package is still excellent. You got to ride out some of the negatives, some of the bad parts. And that's one of them, that he's not seemingly willing to try shooting underhand. But he has put in the work. He has gotten a little better than he was. He's showing progress. So it's not ideal they didn't want to work with Rick Barry, but that was the situation that existed. And I think everybody within the Pistons understood that you just have to deal with somewhat with what Andre Drummond wants. Stan Van Gundy said that Drummond wasn't receptive, and so that's basically the end of it. It's not going to work if he's not receptive. And maybe there was some effort to try and talk Drummond into working with Barry or considering underhanded free throws, but it obviously, if there was, it didn't go anywhere. They didn't push too hard, I don't think. I don't think they alienated Drummond by any means. It definitely doesn't seem that they did, and he didn't do it. So you just have to kind of move on. I don't think there's another solution. You can wish that Drummond would have taken up Rick Barry on that offer, but you can't make him. You just have to live with it.